This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 850. My name is Lisa Sheps, as it is on cool fall days, and I am joined by my amazing, wonderful, and stupendous co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming around the world at koop.org. Do not go away.
Hurry, hurry, and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world.
It is Wednesday, November 12th, 2025. On the show today, we have Vortex Rep and their show, Dora's Gently Used Dream Store. Then we'll be talking to Mark Puhe of Austin Shakespeare and My Children, My Africa. Then later on in the show, we'll talk to Different Stages and their show, Murder of Roger Ackroyd. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Los Angeles, and Albuquerque. Don't go away.
There's people living what we call the high life while I'm just sitting here.
Okay, we're not really going to talk about Albuquerque.
That was a rando.
I know.
Why was Albuquerque on your mind?
I know. Albuquerque is on my mind. I'm watching that new TV series, Pluribus. You seen it? Heard it?
No, I find the whole promo keeps popping up when I turn the Roku on. I'm like, what is this Pluribus? And it's a very disturbing thing. Or maybe it's not there. Maybe it's on the actual app. Is it HBO or Peacock? What's it on?
I think it's Apple Plus. I don't know what it is.
No, but it's on I get it on the Roku.
Staff meeting the other day, I said I was watching it. I don't like it. And I just got lambasted as being absolutely wrong.
No, I did binge watch the All Her Fault. That was really good. I couldn't stop watching it.
I don't know that one.
Oh, yeah. That's the one with Dakota Fanning. And
I like Dakota Fanning.
Oh, my God. I can't think of her other name right now. And I want to say Carrie Coon, but she's Gilded Age.
Carrie Coon. Well, you'll figure it out. And then
it'll come to me.
You will blurt it out at a most inappropriate moment.
It was really good.
Well, let's introduce the folks that are sitting here with us. We have Faith Sanders. Welcome back, Faith.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
And new to the show, Alana Martin.
Hello. Happy to be here.
Well, hold on. Am I hearing you? Let's say something again.
Hello,
yes,
hello.
I'm hearing you.
I am happy to be here.
Every now and then, my headphones don't talk to all the microphones, but the little VU meter was moving, so I'm guessing that that folks can hear you. Are y'all TV watchers?
Oh, yeah.
When okay. I have the time, yes.
Have you seen Pluribus?
No.
I've heard really good things, though, as right. well.
Yeah, they're wrong.
Okay.
I like the woman that's in it, Rhea Sherporn, or whatever her name is. I like her. Or I liked her in Better Call Saul. But we're not here to talk about TV, Nicole.
No, we're not.
We're here to talk about theater, and we had a Broadway opening with a local...
Sarah Snook.
Oh, God. Yes, you know, I did see that.
Sarah Snook.
Yeah. And speaking of Sarah Snook, we'll take it back to theater. She did, oh my God, I forgot, the one woman show. That's going to be, being redone as a movie with someone else famous. And I almost talked about it today and I can't remember what it is. Anyway, the opening we had was Queen of Versailles.
The picture of Dorian Gray?
That was it, but that's not the one I was talking about.
St. Joan.
No. I'll figure it out tomorrow. Okay. We had the Queen of Versailles opening. The Queen of Versailles, of course, is based on a documentary about a man and his wife that built Jackie Siegel, correct. The most expensive house in the world. So, of course, that is a makes a lovely musical written by Stephen Schwartz and Lindsay Fiorentino. And it says, from computer engineer to Mrs. Florida to billionaireess, Jackie Siegel sees herself as the embodiment of the American dream. Now, as the wife of David, the timeshare king, Siegel, and the mother of their eight children. She invites us to behold their most grand venture yet. building the largest private home in America, a $100 million house in Orlando, Florida, big enough for her dreams and inspired by the Palace of Versailles. But, of course, they built it right around 2008, and everything went to dookie. And that's what the show is about. And it stars one Christian Chenoweth. Did They Like It aggregator had, I'm doing math, 17 reviews. 3 were positive, 8 were middle of the road, and 6 were negative. And I would say that all in all is a middling mix of things, but, you know, kind of more on the negative side than the positive side. But there were...
They're all like different things, which is interesting.
Interestingly enough, the newspaper of record, the New York Times, gave it a critic's pick and a big thumbs up. The review was written by Laura Collins Hughes. I just mutilated her name. And as I mentioned, it was written music by Stephen Schwartz, book by Lindsay Fiorentino. One of the lead producers is here in town, and ex, not ex, part of the Offstage and On the Air family. Why did his name just leave my
Hunter?
Head? Yeah, Hunter Regan. This is what happens. It stars F. Murray Abraham as the husband and Kristen Chenoweth as the wife.
David Siegel and Jackie Siegel.
Thank you, because I cannot remember any of that. The documentary in 2012 was done by Lauren Greenfield. Laura Collins Hughes says, quote, "The Queen of Versailles is more than an entertaining bio-musical with a hummable score. Directed by Michael Arden, it's also a sociological fairy tale, the kind in which flawed people lose their way and something terrible, terribly sad happens irreversibly."
She loses a daughter to addiction.
Yes.
And it's that's a big part of their whole journey and struggles as a family is the journey of her daughter becoming sober and not and sober and not and sober and not and then finally becoming sober in a really good place. And then this relapse that takes her.
Yeah.
Really cracked them in the middle of everything else going on.
Yeah. The song we heard coming into this was Caviar Dreams, which is probably the moment that it's there's only 2 songs that are out published right now that you can get, and Caviar Dreams is one of them, but it's gotten very popular on iTunes.
It is. I was like, it's the popular one.
Yeah. What was interesting is they talked about the Stephen Schwartz, who, of course, wrote Wicked, amongst other things, that this seemed kind of out of the ordinary for him, but it's not really, because he wrote Working. I forgot about Working.
Yeah, he wrote a whole
That was another thing that's sort of based on a documentary-ish thing.
Uh-huh.
It was based on interviews with working folk.
No, wasn't it Working? No, that wasn't Working.
No,
it was Working. He didn't work on... There is the Working Girl musical, so that's what gets me all...
Yeah, it's not Working Girl.
Yeah, no, I know. Working. Yeah, I remember.
Laura Collins Hughes really liked F. Murray Abraham. He said,
kind of genius.
He said, the role is juicy and Abraham expertly squeezes every drop.
Yeah.
Did anybody see the... I haven't seen the documentary.
No.
The Queen of Versailles?
Yeah.
Yes.
You saw it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
saw it way back when it came out.
It never interested me, and that's why you and I were talking about just the subject matter. Is like I didn't really see the idea. Of course, a lot of musicals you go, I don't understand why they wanted to make this a musical, but this was one of them that was kind of a head scratcher for me.
Yeah, this one doesn't. I'm not as head scratchy to
Well,
me as some
not
stuff.
Having seen the documentary, I was going, all right, well, how do we spend 2 hours in a musical talking about building a house? But of course it's more than that.
Yeah.
Well, is there some sort of like critique or at least examination of like the capitalist opulence piece of it all? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I remember that was the most interesting to me about the documentary. Mm-hmm. I never did watch it, but I remember seeing it and thinking, wow, is this going to be really thought-provoking? And I would hope that the musical would take us there as well.
Yeah.
And I'd be really curious to hear how the music did it.
Yeah. Yeah. So on the other side, Adam Feldman for Time Out wrote, Arden's direction provides good small moments, but can't provide overall attitude, the material. Let me just try that over again. Arden's direction provides a good small moments, but can't provide overall attitude, the material lacks, and the production's look is inconsistent. There were some.
It does go. It's in the future, or it's present day. Is present day a little loose? I guess in the last decade or so. It's present day, but it also goes back and shows the parallels of Versailles. So there are people, because you'll see photos.
It has a prelude in Versailles.
Yeah, so you'll see photos, and you're like, why are people in period piece from Versailles? I thought this was now, and it is. It's the parallels of that opulence go through there.
Yeah,
with seems like an interesting choice.
Yeah,
yeah. So, so hopefully it will continue on. We don't know.
I don't know.
We don't know.
We'll see.
We will see. Just because we have a connection to it, I hope the best for it. And of course, who doesn't like Kristen Chenoweth?
Yeah, I think she's having a good time being back on stage. Yeah. So, like, good for her.
Well,
F. Murray Abraham. That man is some talented.
There is some controversy around him that I don't understand.
I don't either. You keep saying that, and I'm like, I don't know what it is.
I don't either. So we're not going to talk about it. But we can't talk about Kristen Chenoweth without segueing to Wicked a little bit.
It's happening.
It's happening on the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about it. Uh-huh. I'm really excited about it. Yeah. I like the movie version. Ariana Grande just keeps making me fall in love with her. When I see interviews with her, she's just so darn chipper.
She's always been like that.
And she's good. Like when she was on Saturday Night Live, she's a good little actor.
Well, she was on Broadway at 13.
I know.
So,
well, that doesn't necessarily mean she's a good
in
little
13.
Actor. I've seen plenty
Jason
of people.
Robert Brown. She got rave reviews then.
I've seen plenty of people.
Disney kid
on SNL who do really good on Broadway that don't do well on SNL.
Yeah, but they're normally getting the Broadway credit because they are on SNL
anyway.
Or were on SNL, not the other way around.
Yeah, but I am looking forward to Wicked. There was an interview this morning on the Today Show with Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo. And then I was going through TikTok just about Cynthia Erivo, and she was being interviewed by someone, and they said, can you give me the pronunciation of your name? And she goes, Cynthia Erivo. And they started laughing because evidently, and I don't know what it is, Cynthia Erivo has a really long name, a full name with like lots of different names. And they started laughing because, it's Cynthia Erivo. And anyway, it's fine. You had to see it. I got lots of stories just like that one. Anyway, I'm looking forward to seeing Wicked. I probably won't be able to see it right when it opens, but I will see it close to its opening.
I have tickets on the 25th.
You do. I probably won't be able to see it till after Parade opens. But so I will see it, December 7th, I think. And that'll be good. The crowds will be gone, and I'll have the movie theater pretty much to myself. How many times did y'all see the first one?
I did.
Mm-hmm.
I did not.
More than once?
Ooh, no, I saw it once.
I saw it in the theater, but then I watched it once at home.
Yeah, I watched it.
With two people that hadn't seen it, and I was like, that's it. That's good.
Yeah, I saw it once in the theater. My intention was to go and see it again, but I didn't. It's hard to go to the theater these days.
It is.
Yeah, my mom, my cousin, my niece, and I, it's the thing. So, like, they're all on it. I'm part of the package to go. So.
Yep.
I love this musical. And I thought they did a good job. So, I'm not giving it any grief.
No. Oh, good.
But it's not like I'm the one that planned or bought the tickets or took care of it all.
Right. So, just while we're on the streaming thing and you may comment or you may not comment, just to tell people that the film version of Kiss of the Spider Woman is now available for streaming for a pay for fee, but it's out there. And I, for one, am going to watch it.
Good for you.
I know. I know you aren't. That's not what I'm going to do. So there was also another interesting article that I read about, it was NPR did it. The headline is, "When Broadway flops get a second life as student musicals." But I learned some stuff about these Broadway junior productions that I didn't know. This is sort of interesting.
What did you learn that you didn't know? You know there's junior productions.
No, I know there's junior productions, but I didn't quite know what some of the stuff we're talking about, but they're talking about it. Talk about the story is framed around one particular high school that is working on Once Upon a One More Time junior version. And there's a whole industry around turning these shows into the junior versions. And evidently they give it to a handful of high schools early on to develop it. So to develop those junior versions and help figure out what they need to cut out or add. So a couple of things, let me see if I can find this part of the article. A couple of things that they do is they, of course, they get rid of swear words or make over it. And one of the ones was in Once Upon a One More Time, there was a song called Work Rhymes with Ditch. And they changed it to Work It. And one of the things I like to talk about is the chorus line. The show, theater people will know what I'm talking about, but it's this and that. This and that. Which that I think song. Is funny. But they also usually make it shorter. This one says they take it down to an hour, but I've seen high school versions of musicals that are not terribly much shorter. But evidently they use these schools to test it and find the spots that work for schools in a more practical way, which I think is really interesting. Also, the junior versions cost a lot less in terms of their royalties.
Mm-hmm. I knew
so,
that.
So, like, I didn't. I thought they were paying pretty much the same. Royalties for a musical for a non-professional production are usually around $3,000 to $4,000, mm-hmm. and for these it's less than $1,000. Mm-hmm. So I
making
thought that
making it accessible to the students,
yes, which I love. I love, and I'm a little jealous because they don't pay their talent, which is the biggest part of is the biggest money we spend is paying for people. Also, when you do one of these things, you get a whole guide. Okay, where did that go? The directors get a guide that give them costume ideas, scenic ideas, directing notes, dramaturgy, all this stuff that they're handed. The
resources.
Yeah, that a director that doesn't want to do something from scratch has the ability to pull from a lot of other things. So I think that's really cool. Yeah, I just thought I when I saw this article, I didn't think I was going to learn anything, but I did.
Cool beans.
Yeah, that's it. Has anybody seen high school productions or junior productions?
Yes,
yes,
locally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
These are all local.
Yep, yes. I actually assistant directed the Vortex's Summer Youth Theater program this year,
mm-hmm.
And there's some incredible talent.
There
in
sure
youth.
Is. Well, and I go see as part of the Heller Awards. I go see a lot of the high school
musicals.
I'm an adjudicator. Don't tell anybody. It's a secret. let's see. We're almost running out of time, so let's see what else we want to talk about. I just saw this is a quickie. There is a show that Keala Settle is doing along with Hal Fowler. It's a drama about Mary Todd Lincoln. And I just think this is a great counterpoint.
She's hot, that Mary Todd Lincoln.
to the Cola Scola, O'Mary, mm-hmm. which Cole, they purposely did no research on Mary Todd Lincoln, knew nothing about it, comes from a completely ignorant place on purpose. And this is not that. But this talks about the personal struggles of Abraham Lincoln's wife and in the aftermath of his assassination. It's playing January to March of 2026 in Merryold, somewhere in Merryold, England, to say.
Hats off.
Okay, that's it. Nobody wants to say anything about that?
No, exciting, I'm too excited about Paddington if we're going to talk over.
Yeah,
that,
no, so. Not there. the second to last thing, the penultimate thing I want to talk about, just because I think it's funny, is Anna
Geister.
Gasteyer,
yes.
Yeah. Who I know from Saturday Night Live, and I have to say that I had her completely mixed up in my mind with Andrea Martin because I thought,
oh,
I know.
Yeah, no.
I'm with you. And I said, oh, good.
Short, tall, different decades.
I said, this is going to be great because Nicole loves Anna Gasteyer, and Anna Gasteyer was in Pippin. And of course, none of those things are true.
No, it was Andrea Martin. But she was in the Three Penny Opera production that I am obsessed with.
She was in the Three Penny Opera, and lest we not, everything comes in threes. She also originated Elphaba in the Chicago sit-down production of Wicked.
Wicked, yes.
She's a Broadway hoofer.
She's in Reefer Madness.
And she was really very dear friends with Amy Carter. Yes, that Amy Carter. Do y'all know who I'm talking about?
The president's daughter.
The president's daughter. And hung out at the White House and hung out with Anwar Sadat and watched in the movie theater.
She's wild. I love this woman.
I heard an
interview. I was ranting and raving about her last week. You were looking at me like I had my head on backwards.
I had an interview. There was an interview with her where she talked about all this time that she spent in the White House with Amy Carter and Anwar Sadat. And she was at Camp David during the accords where the Anwar Sadat. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. But what I thought really fun was I thought you get kicked that I just had her totally mixed up
with Andrea Martin. That's so funny. Yeah. So different. I mean, very, both very hilarious different. And yep. Extremely talented.
Both on Saturday Night. No, Andrea Martin was kids, not the Chicago.
SCTV.
You're right.
Second City okay. Stuff. Yeah.
Anyway, the last thing we'll talk about before we go to break is The Wizard of Oz at the Sphere. Any Wizard of Oz? You know,
we talked about this.
I know.
You're just going to keep talking about it.
I'm not going to keep talking about it. This is a different thing. But first of all, are you Wizard of Oz fans?
Yes.
Yeah.
The idea of seeing that movie in the Sphere, the Sphere fascinates me. Have you been?
No.
Anybody been?
No.
My cousin and a whole bunch of friends have been. They've gone to a lot of concerts there. They've enjoyed themselves.
I want to go. But The Wizard of Oz in the Sphere is really good. So a couple things around The Wizard of Oz. Margaret Hamilton's Witch's Hat is up for auction. They think it's going to go for $20 million or something.
It's probably going to go for a lot. Yeah, I'd see that.
And there is a soundtrack for The Wizard of Oz at the Sphere that was just released, which is, I guess, newly remastered. But one of the things I thought was interesting is what we're going to listen to as we go to break is Judy Garland singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow a cappella.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, here it is. We'll be right back.
Somewhere over the rainbow.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa.
And Nicole.
And that was a lovely talk. You reminded me that we didn't talk about Purple Rain and the reviews that came out, and I thought we had talked about that last week, but we talked about you seeing it. I did not read the reviews. I saw them come out. There's a review in the Times to where I'm assuming they were positive.
They were hit or miss. Like, it was pretty much almost the same thing I said, except for, I mean, they still said it needed to be cut down, but it was a good hour shorter from when I saw it in preview. So hats off to them for figuring that part out. And some of the song choices that don't have to do with Purple Rain that are Prince that I was like, I don't get it. I got it now afterwards and why they chose it and stuff. And I'm not as, but it has legs. Everybody said the same thing I did. You're going in to go see Prince music and have a good time. It has legs.
Because you know why? Because you're smart. Yeah. Anyway.
It's not reinventing the wheel. It's not this heavy, like, groundbreaking, going to change the world piece. You're going in to see Purple, right? Like, you know.
You want the music.
What you're going in to see. So.
Right. Well, let's switch gears and talk to our guests about the real reason why they're here. They're not here to talk about The Wizard of Oz at the Sphere.
No. Or Purple Rain in Minneapolis. No.
They're with Vortex Reps, production of Dora's Gently Used Dream Store. And we have the director of this piece, Faith Sanders. Hi, welcome back.
Hi.
And I believe is this a solo show?
It sure is.
We have the entire cast here with us.
Because we are hard-hitting and groundbreaking news here.
Alana Martin, welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm happy to be here.
So tell us about Dora's Gently Used Dream Home. I'm guessing it's about a dream home that's been gently used.
A dream store.
Store, that's what I meant.
Yep, it's a pop-up shop that Dora takes traveling on the road. It's a one-hour show, one-woman show, and it's an immersive piece. So throughout the show, Dora shares her experience into how she stumbled into the dream industry. She jars dreams. She sells them. It explores trade and commerce and the value of, paying extra attention to our dreams.
You actually get to donate a dream, if you like, as the audience member. There's a jarring ceremony that Dora does. And yeah, it explores, again, tapping into the unconscious and being able to share that and vocalize your dreams.
When I donate my dream into the jar, do I just think my dream into the jar, or do I have to write the dream down?
You don't have to write it down, but Dora has a process of asking you questions and yeah. adding things into a jar that kind of bring those answers to those questions.
That was
to
my
life.
Question, Lisa, is Thank how you. Does one's dream get yeah. in the jar? Because I kind of love that all.
And Alana, you play the titular Dora.
I sure do.
I don't have my notes in front of me. Did you also write this piece?
I did not write this piece. Okay. It was written by a woman in Philadelphia.
Where Morgan, your life is healthier.
We found out about it because it sold out in the Philadelphia Fringe Fest.
Uh-huh.
It got really great reviews. Chris Fontanes from The Vortex, mm-hmm. Advocated for it. Advocated for me to direct it, spoke with her, had a lengthy conversation, and just really excited about what this reiteration is going to be here in Austin.
Oh, great.
Oh, that's cool. So is this the first time it's been done since it was there?
Correct.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Oh, great.
Cool beans.
So Alana, you are playing Dora, and I am assuming, since this is immersive and participatory, that some of this is extemporaneous?
Indeed, yes. Some of it is improvisational. I'm responding and listening in real time to audience members, which is a really unique experience because it's also discussing really personal material about these people's dreams. And so it's been a really beautiful process to research and learn what it means to be with someone while they share a dream and to kind of dwell in this place that's both giving them space but also giving me space to jar things and have a process for putting it into a jar. And so, yeah, we did some really cool research with a group called Rainbow Serpent Dreamer Circle here in town.
Get out of town.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was a
I love
that. Dream circle. And we collaborated ultimately with one of the facilitators there in the Austin Studio Tour, which we are participating in currently.
Right. So this show is part of the Austin Studio Tour.
Correct. We
submitted it. Which used to be called the Austin East Side Studio Tour, which then was called the West Side Studio Tour. And now it's just called the Studio Tour.
Yes, it's called the Austin Studio Tour.
Yes.
But you know what it is?
Just tour of studios.
It's the studio tour.
True.
Used to be done by Big Medium, and they are no longer existent. It's now been taken over by another company.
Well,
that's very exciting. And that specifically takes place next weekend.
The show opens this...
I'm talking about the studio tour.
Studio tour opened this past weekend, and its final weekend is this weekend.
Got it. Okay. Well, that's very exciting. And we were talking, and I want to talk more about the show itself, but just very briefly, we were talking before we went on the air about making sure that the citizens of Austin know more that theaters like The Vortex exist. Mm-hmm. And this is part of your way to promote theater in
yeah.
Austin.
That's a part of our mission. And that was, I mean, it was Alana's idea to submit it because she's also a visual artist. And we, you know, saw it as an opportunity to kind of cross-pollinate art enthusiasts and get people that are big fans of visual art interested in, and, you know, discover that Austin Theater exists beyond the Zach. And there's cool stuff happening here too.
Is there a piece of this that is visual art?
Yes, and I think that was why it really spoke to me as a nice way to cross-pollinate, is because there we have built out a shop. The production designer Remy Jocelyn, beautiful
love
artist.
Remy.
We love Remy. And she has had this really organic, gentle process of going into this space and turning it into a shop. So even just visiting the set feels like an immersive, almost Meow Wolf type experience.
Oh, great. Meow Wolf, who was supposed to come to Austin, and then they decided
yeah,
not to.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah, they didn't come here. Well, that's great. So, Alana, also you, as in your background, do you have any kind of improv in your or extemporaneous artistic work in your background?
I studied theater in college and did plenty of improv classes. I've never been a performance troupe or anything like that, so this is a little bit new for me. But
yeah.
It's the perfect way. It's the perfect style for me, because while I do love comedy and do consider myself funny,
I consider myself funny too, but then looks aren't everything.
No, but while I do consider myself funny, I do think that having this space that's actually more kind of about honoring the other person that I'm with and kind of giving them space to do something that's really personal is actually a really gentle and loving way into the art form.
Wonderful. Well, we are almost out of time. There's a couple things I want to hit on before we go. Number one, first and foremost, you're not on the big stage at the Vortex, are you?
We are not. We are in the Pony Shed, which is an it's kind of what it sounds like. It's a shed outside of the Vortex. It's tiny.
How many people can come see this?
Up to 25.
Okay. Yeah.
We did some seating magic. Thank you, Bonnie Cole.
Are people seated inside the shed?
People are seeing it.
25 people inside that shed?
It's pretty wild.
It's intimate. Okay.
All right. I've been in that shed.
It's you need to come see it.
Last time I made Bonnie mad, she took me out to the shed.
There you go.
Did she?
No. Well, so that's amazing. And what do we want to bring our kids to this?
Yes.
You may, yes.
Yeah.
Alana's son is going to be coming. I have
your 9-year-old son.
He's 9 and he's going to be there and he's going to not donate a dream because he is not a theater kid. He's a science kid.
Science kids have dreams too.
They do, but he doesn't like to be in the front of anyone. Okay. So that's
why. Well, wonderful. When do you open this show?
We open on Thursday, November 13th, and we run until November 23rd.
Great. And where can folks go to get more information?
They can go to thevortexrep.org.
Great. Well, thank y'all so much
thank
for coming.
You.
It sounds
thank
like
you.
So
thank
much
you.
Fun.
Thank yeah, you. We'd love to see everyone there. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. That was Faith Anderson and Alana Martine of Vortex Reps, Dora's Gently Used Dream Store, playing November 13th through 23rd at the Pony Shed at the Vortex. For more information, you may visit vortexrep.org. And from Les Miserables, because I just totally together, this is I Dreamed a Dream. We'll be right back.
I dreamed a dream in time.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. And I am so excited for our next guest.
Me too. And
I don't know when the last time he was on, but we are welcoming by telephone Mark Puhe, who is in the process of working on Austin Shakespeare, My Children, My Africa. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Lisa, how you doing? Okay. Actually, the last time I was there was in June for Fat Ham.
Yeah, it's right, you were. And speaking of Fat Ham, big congrats to you and your
Beyond
Pain. Yes, congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. It was a great team effort. And but yeah, it was so much fun.
Yeah, that was a beautiful piece. I really, really enjoyed every moment of seeing that. Y'all really did a good job. And I had in your acceptance speech, I learned something about you, which I find remarkable. I learned two things. First of all, that was your first Beyond Pain award.
Correct.
Crazy.
First individual award for acting. Yeah. I mean, I've been part of like large casts and everything else. But
I know, but I don't know if you know this.
I actually get to take home. Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but you are Mark Puhe.
It's just one of those things, man. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, it's an honor to get been nominated several times, but, you know, sometimes you just have to get the votes. And I don't really, I've never really campaigned. I don't know how to. So.
But the other thing I learned was that the first piece you did in the Austin area was Master Harold and the Boys at
the first one of the first leads. Yes, correct.
At Sam Bass.
I did a fellow like the spring before. Yes, correct.
And I don't know if you remember, I saw that production and was completely blown away with it. Uh-huh. And I was bringing it to my theater at the time, Play Theater Group, before I ended up shutting it down.
Oh, Play Theater.
I don't know if you remember that or not.
I know.
Yeah, I was.
I do remember. It was heartbreaking because we wanted to keep doing the show, but we fully understood that the circumstances of your theater group shutting down, but you're doing fantastic things at the ground floor now. So,
well, thank you for saying that.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, speaking about Atul Fulgard, who I'm terrible at pronouncing his name. I don't know if I did it right. This show, My Children, My Africa, is written by him. And you are performing in it. And this is a staged reading, correct?
That is correct. And I'll just add that Austin stage readings, then they're not the stuffy event that you might think of where people sitting around a table and, you know, having an academic lecture. No, this is, we get it on its feet. We put on costumes. The only thing that's different is we don't have like we have some set elements, but we have costumes, we have movement, we have full intentions. So it's like watching a play. We're just holding the scripts.
Tell us about the play itself, a little bit about the plot and what your role is.
Sure, sure. Well, the plot is about three characters. Mr. M is a teacher, a black South African teacher. That's the character I play. And he is coaching two students, one black South African boy who's a high school student, and one white South African girl who's also a high school student. Those students meet at the beginning of the play in a debate against each other. They both do so well that he gets a brilliant idea to have them work together in another larger competition outside. It's set during the early 1980s in South Africa, which you know was deep into apartheid, you know, before apartheid ended, almost a decade later. And it's really a three person play in by all means. There's large monologues. Everybody gets a large multi page monologue, one or two. There is humor. There is joy. There is terror. There's drama. Everything you could want.
I was like, it has it all.
That is amazing. Who's directing this piece?
This is Anne Chikalala.
Wonderful. We love Anne.
Chikalala.
She's an offstage and on the air co-host.
Yep.
Couple times, yeah.
And who else is it? Who are you sharing the stage with?
Sure. I'm sharing it with two brilliant Texas State University seniors. Naya Adler is playing the girl. And Omari, I want to make sure that I get his name right. I'll just say Omari for now. The correct name is on the website, but I don't want to say his name incorrectly.
Well, that is wonderful. And Texas State has brought and is bringing out so many wonderful, talented people. Are you a Texas State alum or St. Ed's alum?
I am. I was the last SWT class in 2003.
Yeah. Okay. Amazing. You're an old man.
Mm-hmm. I am an old man.
Lisa likes to be remind us all how old we are every day.
I do. It's very important to me. So there are only two chances to see this show. Is that correct?
Yes. Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. Sunday is doing well. Saturday, there's a lot of opportunities for tickets. So if people want to go have a night of theater, go downtown or go close to downtown. Downtown adjacent, without the real hassle of it. Right. Go to the Rollins Theater. Go to the website.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, and who should come? Should I bring my kids to this?
You know, there's no bad language, but there are some dark things. I wouldn't bring like a 5-year-old to it, but I'd bring a junior high kid to it easily.
Well, wonderful.
So PG-13.
Yeah. Well, Mark, we only had a really
PG-13.
We only have a really short time to talk.
PG-11.
PG-11. Okay, you got it. So it's just the two things. Where can folks go to get more information about the show?
Always austinshakespeare.org.
Wonderful. Mark, thank you for joining us on the phone and offstage and on the air.
Great talking to you, Lisa. And is that Nicole in the back?
It is indeed.
All right. Great talking to you both. Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. Thanks, Mark. Have a good one.
All right. That was Mark.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. That was Mark Puhay of Austin Shakespeare and My Children, My Africa, playing November 15th and 16th at the Rollins. For more information, you may visit austinshakespeare.org. And this is from The Color Purple, African Homeland. We'll be right back.
I vibrated like a bell when I saw the African pole.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
We're here.
I would love to go see that and see. I'll tell you what. When I saw Mark in Master Harold and the Boys, it was just
that's so good.
One of the more resplendent, if that's the right word, shows that I've ever seen. And that was right when I first moved here, and I was thinking, well, the talent pool here in Austin is amazing.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
All right, let's do our local stuff first. And we're just, the list is not huge.
No,
but it's
we're
growing.
Still missing stuff on here.
Okay, well, if you know it, bring it in. So you want to start?
A Charlie Brown Christmas. Sack Theater, now through the 28th.
Okay, I've got to add that. It's, you know what? It's, they don't have that on ATX
Theater. So it is on ATX Theater, was entered on it, and was included in their newsletter. So I don't know what's going on with the listings.
Okay. Anyway, Austin Shakespeare, My Children, My Africa. We just talked to Mark Puhay, November 15th and 16th.
Vortex rep, Dora Gently Used Dream Store. We just talked to them. Opening tomorrow the 13th and running through the 23rd.
Broad Theater has a doctor's visit through the 26th at Hyde Park Theater.
Mary Moody Norton Theater, Much Ado About Nothing, open now through the 16th.
City Theater has Other Desert Cities coming, happening right now through the 23rd.
Color Arc Productions with storytelling stories about unique jobs, November 20th.
Walking Shadow Shakespeare has Caesar plus Anthony plus Cleopatra, November 14th through 22nd.
And then Austin Playhouse has Peril on the Alps opening on November 21st, running through December 28th. And Christmas Carol opens on the 22nd also.
Christmas Carol is also in the Zach. Some of the auditions are happening. ACC has Reefer Madness on November 17th.
We just talked about that.
Austin Playhouse has Camilla Full of Wishes. Those auditions are on the 18th. And now it's time for Today in Theater History.
You're going to tell me about the crazy stuff that happened today?
I am. Here's some of the birthdays. Megan Mullaney.
Oh.
Mary Louise Wilson.
Oh.
Burt Williams. Karen Zambia. And Jamie Lloyd.
Oh.
Those are some. Just
Jamie Lloyd.
Yep.
Yeah.
We had Maybe Happy Ending opened a year ago. I can't believe it's been a year.
Has it really already been a year?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
A View from the Bridge, the revival, opened in 2015. Grand Hotel, 1989. That's the original, which I saw. Sleuth opened in 1970. And Paint Your Wagon opened in 1951.
Dun, dun, dun.
And there was a revival with, I think, Keith Carradine?
Really? Oh, you know what? Now that you say that, I think so.
Anyway, this is from that revival. This is Wandering Star. We'll be right back. I am nobody. That's not it. Hold on just a second. We're just going to listen to whatever this is.
Okay. But I
am somebody. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa.
And Nicole.
And all sorts of other people. That was... It did not reset. That was the Color Purple.
We could listen to the Color Purple 500 times and it would be okay.
I know. But I don't know if my version of Paint Your Wagon is the movie and Lee Marvin singing the song.
I forgot about that.
And just because I now have it queued up, we need to hear a little bit of this version. And let me make sure that I'm telling you it's the right person. I want to say it's Keith Carradine, but I'm not thinking terribly straight right now. But it was in 2006, and I'm not sure. But let's listen to just the tiniest little bit of that.
Okay.
I was born under a wandering star.
So that to me is very different from the Lee Marvin version. That's it. That's the end of the story.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. We have had a change of the guard here. Let's introduce the folks that are here joining us with Different Stages production of The Murder of Roger Ackroyd. And we have the artistic director and the director of this piece, Norman Blumenstadt. Hi, Norman.
Hi, Lisa.
How are you?
I'm surviving. I'm good. Here.
Me too.
I'm hobbling about.
And then we have two of the actors. We have Bernadette Nason.
Hello there.
Hi. Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
And Rick Falcons.
Hello.
Offstage and On the Air alums all.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Rick, I'm going to ask you to get that mic right up close to your...
Alrighty then.
There you go. That's perfect. Norman, tell me about this show. This is an Agatha Christie?
This is the third book that Agatha Christie wrote with, I don't know if I... Here I will murder this name, Hercule Poirot as the...
I have trouble with that name as well.
Well,
just saying,
you're not the only one. Wrote, and it's from like 1925, 26.
1926 was when the novel was published, but serialized in 25.
Yeah, and it has one of her major twist endings.
Oh,
It's a masterpiece.
I need to hear the twist ending.
Yes, which we won't reveal.
Oh, come
like,
on.
They're not going to reveal not that. Nice. They have a show to do.
No, no. No, that's why people come to see whodunit.
And is this a new adaptation of this piece?
Yeah, this is a relatively new adaptation, I think, because all of these books are now coming into the public domain.
Yeah,
yeah.
This adaptation is by Mark Shanahan, who's the artistic director of the Westport Playhouse. And it was the first performed on stage at the Alley Theater 2 summers ago.
The Alley Theater in Houston, Texas?
Yes.
Amazing.
Well, they do every summer. They do an Agatha Christie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And so he's going to direct it at the Westport Playhouse in the spring. And it's been to other places. But there's like 2 or 3 other versions out. I think this is the best of the versions. The one I read 2 or 3 lines, 2 or 3 pages online and went, well, we'll pass on that adaptation. So, you know, because for the past, I don't know, 5, 10, 15 years, we've been starting our season with an adaptation of a book. And we've done Frankenstein, Dracula, Fahrenheit 451, Great Expectations, the Miss Lulabette, all based on books.
Yeah.
So, so sometimes you can find good adaptations of books, and other times you can find things that you don't. Yes, not so good that you want to pass on right away.
True that. Now, Rick, you're playing the said the name that you're not.
No.
Oh, I thought I read that. Who are you playing?
I'm playing Dr. Shepherd. So he's in a way he's like the sidekick to Mr. Poirot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, and there's Gabe. Captain Hastings is not in this book.
Okay.
So.
I call him Captain Hastings.
Captain Hastings.
And yeah. Or his nom de plume, Captain Crunch.
Yes. In this book, Captain Hastings has pursued his love in Argentina.
Oh, okay. Oh,
well.
All right. So you're the sidekick to
that,
Perot.
Let's Hercule bounce off of my reactions to him. So.
Lovely. And Bernadette, who are you playing?
I'm playing the doctor's sister, Caroline.
Yes.
And her favorite thing to do is gossip. And so
is
she's
that typecasting?
A lot of fun.
Is there a little piece of typecasting?
Tell her to simmer down.
Absolutely. I know the character very well.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And this, like with a lot of Agatha Christie, this I'm assuming is a lot of fun with a lot of... twists and turns.
Yes, yes, and a lot
and a surprise ending. I hear.
Well, and a lot of comedy.
and a lot of comedy.
Everyone forgets that you know Agatha did like a good laugh.
So. Yeah,
it's very sharp, very snappy as well. It really moves well, and it's fun to do. But it's going to be even more fun to watch, I think. I don't know how to say Gabriel's name, but Hercule Poirot is played by Gabriel Montanado.
Maldonado.
I've never said the name.
I was going to guess that.
Okay.
But now you guys are prepared to do a little scene, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Do we need to set the scene up at all?
Well, we're going to do a little bit from the beginning, and the doctor has many, because he's the sort of the narrator, he has many pieces of narration. So we're going to do a little bit of his narration, and then we're going to do a little bit of one of the opening scenes between the doctor and his very chatty sister.
Wonderful. Well, this is Bernadette Nason and Rick Felkins doing a scene from Different Stages production of The Murder of Roger Ackroyd.
Mrs. Ferris died on the night of September the 16th. I was sent for at 8 o'clock on the morning of the 17th, a Thursday. There was nothing to be done. It was a shock, a most unexpected death, and the awful implications of her passing struck me at once. People would talk, and it upset me considerably.
James, is that you?
Yes, Caroline, I'm out back in the garden.
Well, come inside.
As a professional doctor, I aim for discretion. I therefore withhold as much information as possible from my dear sister Caroline. She usually finds out anyway, but I have the moral satisfaction of knowing I am in no way to blame for the leak.
You had an early call.
Yes, King's Paddock.
I know.
You do?
Mrs. Ferris is dead, isn't she? The parlour maid told the Ferris cook, and the cook told the milkman, and the milkman told me.
A sad affair. Died in her sleep. An overdose of Veranol.
I recall she took Veranol for restlessness.
She did. She must have taken too much.
Nonsense. It was suicide.
Suicide? Really? Did the milkman tell you that too?
She had a guilty conscience. Come inside. I'll tell you all my theories over breakfast.
Before I go further, I should tell you about our little village, King's Abbot. We have a large railway station, a small post office. We are rich in talkative old ladies and bloviating retired military men. And our chief hobby? Gossip.
Were you alone out there? I heard voices.
Just mumbling to myself.
Well, eat quickly and tell me everything.
I'm afraid this Ferris business has left me without an appetite.
Did she die of heart failure?
Is that what the milkman reported?
No, he agrees with my theory on suicide.
Why on earth would Mrs. Ferris wish to commit suicide?
Remorse. Last year she poisoned that horrible husband of hers, I'm sure of it. She killed Arthur Ferris to be free and clear to marry her true love, Roger Ackroyd.
How romantic.
But she couldn't live with her guilt. Will there be an inquest?
No need. It was an accidental overdose of Veranol.
I'd lay odds she's left a letter confessing everything.
There is no letter and no suicide. Let her rest in peace.
James, why must you always be so naive?
Perhaps I wish to think the best of people.
Or perhaps you can't see the truth. No one is what they seem, James. Everyone has their secrets.
Speaking of secrets, did you know that Ralph Peyton is in King's Abbot?
Yes, at the Three Boars.
Well, why isn't he up at Fernley?
Trouble in paradise, didn't you know? Ralph is engaged to his foster father's own niece.
Ralph and Flora Ackroyd engaged? I had no idea.
You're not supposed to. It's a secret.
Let me guess. The milkman told you.
No. The postal clerk. Of course, Ralph and Flora aren't blood relations, but it's all a bit scandalous.
This must be like Christmas morning for you.
What's more, I was walking through the wood yesterday, minding my own business.
Minding your own business?
When I heard Ralph's voice, he was talking to a girl I couldn't tell who. I didn't mean to overhear.
Of course not.
But I couldn't help it.
That is amazing. What fun.
I love everything about that.
That's fun. Bernadette, your English accent is flawless.
But
she's
I
good,
guarantee I will not be the one that people think has the best accent.
No, I can't guarantee it. Unfortunately, we are completely out of time. When does this show open?
Friday, the 14th.
Friday the 14th. And when does it close?
December 6th.
Wonderful. And where can folks go to get more information?
They can either go to the Vortex website or to the Different Stages website.
Right. Wonderful. And we should say that this is being performed at the Vortex.
Right.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having
me. Oh, thank you for being
thank
on.
Thank you. Wonderful. That was Norman Blumenstadt, Bernadette Nason, and Rick Felkins, all of Different Stages' production of Murder, The Murder of Roger Ackroyd, from November 14th through December 6th at the Vortex. For more information, you may visit differentstagestheater.org. And this is from Swept Away, Murder in the City. We'll be back.
If I get murdered in the city, don't go revenge.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa and Nicole. That is fun. It's always so wonderful talking to Norman and Rick and Bernadette.
Yeah, that was fun. I love Poirot.
Who doesn't love Poirot?
Uh-huh. I love him.
Those of us that can't pronounce it. Well, we've done it. We've done another week.
It's happened.
It's beautiful.
Speaking of the fridge, did you see that Marcel Marceau, you're going to be buy a movie on him?
I was
like,
that.
People will know what a mime is again.
I almost did that next week. Yeah, I wanted to like question all of our experiences with our mime troops growing up.
Yes.
I'm sure everybody was in one.
Yes.
Well, great. Tracy Schultz is next. He's going to tell us what's new.
You know why? Because he likes to know what's new.
He does like to know what's new, and he knows what's new.
He does.
So we're going to play a little bit of Pirates, the Penzance musical, which just their cast album just came out.
With the Jinx.
Yes, and this is this song is We're Sashaying Through the Old French Quarter, and those people that know Gilbert and Sullivan and know Pirates of Penzance can just immediately see the differences versus this.
Now, yeah.
So this is good. We will see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
Bye.